You're listening to the Clumsy Grace podcast. I'm your host, Erin McDonald, and I'm so happy that you're here to join me today because I want you to up your game, to blow up your revenue, and to serve the heck out of your clients and potential clients. I have a creative writing degree. I'll just let that hang there for a minute. My marketing background began in insurance when I didn't even know what marketing was. And I quickly discovered that for me, marketing meant learning the stories behind a business and matching them with the story of an underwriter or an insurance company. For me, marketing is and always has been about telling the best story in the most compelling way. And that's why I think that modern marketing is so built for big-hearted women with big dreams just like you. Welcome to the Clumsy Grace podcast. Let's have a good time. Today's episode is brought to you by my flagship digital course, Better Boundaries. Improve every relationship, including the one with yourself. Boss ladies need boundaries, sis. You can check it out at clumsygrace-university.teachable.com, along with the staple of all my digital courses, including Market Your Magic and Techie Business Stuff for creative women who hate techie business stuff. Enjoy the episode. Hey there, sweetheart. Welcome to the Clumsy Grace podcast. I apologize for my scratchy voice today. My 10-year-old has a bit of a cold, and I'm sure she's sharing it around. I just want to take a second here before we get into the content of this fourth episode of what was entirely an experience born of my seeing a gap in the marketplace. I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who's written me privately or shared in any number of places this podcast. I'm honored to be up in your ear. I think it's a really cool privilege to get to spend this time with you. So thanks a whole lot. Keep sharing, keep sending me messages, keep asking me questions. I am going to do a Q&A, probably in episode 5, actually. I'm going to do some Q&A. So if you have questions about anything that we address in this podcast, I want to hear from you. You can send me a message on Facebook. My business Facebook page is Erin McDonald-ClumsyGrace. You can find me on Instagram at Erin Joyce McDonald with an MC. Or you could send me or someone on my team an email, info@clumsygrace.com. Thanks and enjoy the episode. So, I want to talk today about who you are for. Of course, you're for your friends and your family. Of course, you're for your company, maybe even your employees, maybe even your clients. But who are you for in your marketing? Did I just blow your mind? Is this something that you have literally never thought of before? If you don't know who your ideal client is, even in an industry where you'd serve anyone with a checkbook, you cannot possibly have a marketing plan that serves anyone. So today we're going to take it right back to the basics. Who are you here to serve? If you're here joining us from the highly popular world of online business, you're probably so bored of the quote, who's your ideal client, quote, conversation. Honestly, it's right up there with, so how does one become a life coach? In terms of questions that we've been asked a million times. You may, like me, even have a desk filled with journals, filled with affirmations about how you're attracting aligned, wealthy, coachable gospel singers with turquoise hair and a brother named Carl. But if you own a shop, or you're in your early years of selling real estate, or you're the owner of an insurance brokerage, or you work for the owner of an insurance brokerage, and she is waiting for you to pop by her office to chat about your monthly sales targets, you might not have thought about who you'd be gaga to work with at all. Because right now, you would literally work with anyone who would enter into a payment plan with you. Am I right? Listen, I've totally been there. We've all got bills to pay and responsibilities to respond to. I've also been highly reluctant to quote unquote niche down my services and choose my dream clients, partly because I'm somewhat of a rebel and everyone in business told me in the beginning that I would die a slow and painful death with no niche, but also because I'm someone who can see the good in most people, unless they're greedy, racist, homophobes, in which case they can pound salt. I sincerely would work with just about any good human, and I'm willing to bet that you would too, and I respect you for that. Do you feel reluctant at the thought of having to choose who you would be the most psyched to work with? If you're nodding, I feel you. Just be careful if you're nodding too fervently while on a treadmill. That's how accidents happen. Here's something that I so wish someone had told me earlier in the game of being a business owner. Or maybe they tried and I didn't hear them. Seriously, if you'd met some of my old boyfriend, you'd understand why my best friend and I have an ongoing consensus that I don't always hear things that are for my own good. Maybe you don't either. I'm going to say it anyway. Here's the thing. You don't have to narrow the field so far that you'll never work with any human outside of your narrowly defined parameters. You only have to market primarily to those people within your narrowly defined parameters. You want to know why? Because if you say, I'm here to sell homes to college grads, new parents, upgraders, and retirees, none of them can hear you. Conversely, if you're willing to try gearing your online presence towards the demographic that makes you feel the warmest and the fuzziest, that level of specificity will oddly appeal to a wider demographic of people. And further to that, college grads eventually become new parents who want to upgrade, and one day they retire. I can't stress this enough. If you're in this business for the long game, your marketing needs to be long game also. And I'm going a little bit off book here, but chances are, this is not necessarily always the case, and I'm going to tell a story in just a minute here about how this wasn't always the case for me, but a lot of times your current demographic, the people you're currently marketing to, might seem to be at a similar place in life to you, or maybe to the you that you were a year ago or 6 months ago. And it's not necessary for your ideal client to be someone that you can personally relate to, But and I'm going to get a little bit more deeply into sort of the heart of the matter. So maybe I should just stop fucking trying to get ahead of myself. Yeah. Okay, so here's the story. I wrote this post once a couple of years ago. It's about the idea that different people have different shit that scares them awake in the middle of the night. And this post said, you know, call me precocious, but I've almost always been awakened in the night by the terror that comes from feeling like I'm going to, as Dr. Wayne Dyer so aptly said, die with my music left in me. Not that that music is actually music in my case, but the point being that we all have something to share with the world. And I was always so terrified that I was missing that particular boat. I was very much writing that post from the perspective of someone who had made a bunch of smart moves. You know, I got the degree, I got married and divorced a couple of times. Okay, so maybe they weren't all smart, but I got the job, I moved up the ladder, and I still felt super dissatisfied. I was at the point in my life where I had finally figured out my romantic life at the time that I wrote this post. I was married to my husband. And I was super happy with my home life and my family life, but I was feeling so frustrated in my business and my career. It was a super, super personal post. And I included this photo of myself that my sister-in-law took for me. Pink hair and all, wearing a flower crown, wearing a shirt that said, "Black is my happy color." The response to this post was out of this world. I can always tell when I've really struck an emotional chord when people send me a lot of private messages about the posts that I've written. It's not necessarily that my shit goes viral, but if I hear from a lot of people privately, that's how I know that I've struck the right chord. So the response to this post was like crazy. And in fact, that single post led to me selling out my coaching practice for the very first time. The very first time that I was offering premium prices. Prior to that, I did a lot of charging by the hour, but I put together a premium package. It was the first time I was selling it, and I sold out because of that post. Interestingly, that post resounded most closely with women, dear, dear women who would eventually become clients and friends in their late 50s and early 60s. So at the time that I wrote this post, I was maybe 33, 34. The age demographic that I hit was not who I was aiming for, but they were so deeply aligned with the message of being done with wasting time on excuses and bullshit and drama. When I think back on that post, to be honest with you, I feel a little bit emotional because it was super personal to me. I hadn't even meant for it to be a sales post. Not really. I had something on my heart that I wanted to share. I had, by that point, done a lot of this ideal client work. I had taken Marie Forleo's B-School not long before, and I had a file of ideal client avatars that felt both forced and false. No shade on Mama Forleo or her blowout. I'm not being facetious. I fucking love that woman's hair. And I love her course, too. That work was super valuable to me because prior to that, I had given zero thought to the idea that I even had a choice about who I could work with. And I wonder if that's maybe where you're at right now. It had literally never occurred to me to write a wish list before. Although I had, to great success, written a man list when I was ready to settle down with the man who would become my husband. So from that post to this day, I've gotten a lot more specific about the heart of the people I want to work with. And that was due largely in part to the response from that post and how the heart of these women was so similar to my own, regardless of the specifics, the demographics. They were all over the world, different races, different religions, and different ages, and different sexualities, different identifications. But the heart of it was that they were sick of wasting fucking time. They were ready to grab life. And so I've gotten a lot more specific about the heart of the people that I'm here to work with. I've even taken on a couple of male clients, which was never the plan. And I've taken a lot of the focus away from the specific demographics. All that being said, if you're a small town insurance broker that we talked about earlier, you might get hella psyched as to who specifically, what demographics you're going to direct your content towards. You're probably not going to turn business away unless it's like wildly misaligned, especially in your early days. But you can certainly gear your on and offline marketing efforts with those dear ideal clients in mind. And I'll give you a little bit of a hint. The more you can fall in love with them, the more you will sell. That's the honest truth. If you go into your marketing efforts thinking that your clients aren't smart, or that you can trick them, or that you can manipulate them, or that you can shame them into buying from you, we're probably not very aligned. You can go ahead and navigate away now. So, this same insurance broker, she sells insurance policies to commercial businesses. She's the newest person in her firm, so she only gets premiums, accounts with premiums of under $2,000 annual premium. That's a thing. That happens. It's cool. It's a good place to start. But her dream, she already knows this, her dream is to work with large-scale fishing companies. I don't even know if that's a thing. Is it a thing? I don't know. But if I was her or her marketing advisor, I would create an Instagram page, for example, with, I don't know, marine-heavy content. Maybe like Shannon Fishes Around the World blog, or a 1 second per day video of all the fish she's loved before, or on her Instagram stories showing fantastic lakes that she's checking out on the weekends, right? So that content might endear her to a hiker who's psyched on the outdoors but doesn't necessarily care about fishing. And of course, she's new in the industry. She's just getting going. Of course, she would take a backcountry guiding company under her wing and insure their company for them. Of course she would. And she could appeal to them by posting this content that appeals to her maybe next level client, right? But if she's just like spamming their news feed with, here's what ICBC is going to do with their rates next quarter, they are completely ignoring her. So she's posting fish on Instagram with a hashtag strategy, using all 30 of her available hashtags, of course. Okay, so I want to change our direction just a little bit. I think it'll be helpful for you. As you may or may not know, I am a coach, first and foremost. I love coaching. It's one of my dearest loves to coach and be coached. And in my opinion, as someone who has paid and received hundreds of thousands of dollars into and out of the coaching industry, the best coaches assume that you have your own answers. Coaching is different than educating. One of the main purposes of this podcast is to dump a bunch of my education and anecdotal and experiential knowledge into your life and business so that you can apply what I learned often the hard way into your business now, if you so choose. But the other objective is to coach. Like, I have premium clients who pay me up to $18,000 to work with me for 6 months privately, and I'm not afraid to say that I'm fucking worth it. Some people are ready to invest premium, but I recognize and honor really deeply that you might not be, or you might not be ready to invest like that with me, but you already have a great transformation coach and you want to learn a little marketing. I'm passionate about good coaching being available to you if you want it to be. So the best way to coach, in my opinion, is to ask insightful questions. And that's what I'm going to do right now. So grab yourself a pen and a journal, or open a blank note on your phone or a Word document on your computer. If you are driving or operating anything that has wheels, say your answers out loud. At the very least, promise yourself that you'll come back to these questions and write down the answers later. If you keep it in your head, it's super easy to bullshit yourself. So write this shit down at some point. This will make a positive impact on your business and your marketing plan. Whether you are making art or selling socks or inventing toothpaste or selling high-end homes. I think we can all probably agree that unless you have like an incredible location for foot traffic, and even then, you need some sort of a marketing plan in order to make money in your business, right? And it's really hard to have an effective marketing plan if you don't know who you're talking to. So here are some questions to ask yourself regarding who you want to work with. Write and write and write. Or, you know, record a voice note in your phone or draw a picture. I'm not judgy about how you choose to express yourself, but take some time and put some thought into this because this could be really, really valuable for your marketing plan. So, first question, what are some qualities of people I love to hang out with? Why shouldn't your clients, your ideal customers, the people to whom you gear your marketing efforts, why shouldn't they be people you love to hang out with? Personally, it's non-negotiable for me that my clients have a sense of humor. It's really important to me. If I'm going to hang out with you, my marketing clients, my private coaching clients, my group coaching clients, it is my intention that we have a laugh even when things get a little bit scary. Okay, so that's like something that's super important to me. Second question, and feel free to pause this if I'm going too fast. Feel free to write out the questions as we go and then take some time with a cup of coffee and journal this out for yourself. So second question, what's at the heart of the people I'm dying to work with? What do they have in common with one another? What do they have in common with me? What are they interested in? What moves them? If you're really having a lot of trouble answering these questions for a hypothetical made-up human, answer them about yourself. You're a human. There are other humans like you. What do I love to talk about? Who else might love to talk about that? One of the biggest mistakes I ever made in the process of creating an avatar of my ideal client was thinking that her answers would be somehow so different from mine. And it made them really wooden and two-dimensional. So if your imaginary client is so psyched on Pilates, but your idea of a workout is walking to get a venti latte, it's never going to feel natural to try and have a conversation with her. You're never going to be able to talk Pilates. Talk lattes instead. Fourth question. Where do they hang out? Again, ask yourself, where do I like to hang out? On and offline? Where do I like to get my information? Where do I look to when I'm trying to make a purchase or gain support? What platforms light my fire? Do I love to express myself with music, video, audio, photos, in writing? What kinds of writing? Blogs, Facebook posts, short form like Twitter? Ideally, you can be repurposing content and using it in a myriad of different ways. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I think it's really important to ask yourself these kinds of questions. If you have an idea of who your ideal client is, but you don't necessarily know where they hang out, ask them. Ask them what they love to talk about. Pay attention to the words that they use. And if they're using words that aren't words that are exciting for you, bless them and move on to a new set of ideal clients. This is your life, man. This is your business. You get to choose. All right, so I'm going to give you like a really quick rundown of how to repurpose content. To be totally honest with you, I like creating content. I often don't do it this way, this repurposing way. I have before and I like it and I see other people doing it really successfully. But actually, like creating timely content in the moment and then moving on, that kind of is exciting for me. But if you are one of those people who's like, I can't possibly post every day, I'm gonna blow your mind. Okay, so for example, you think of a pithy quote or a meaningful quote, you come up with like a short 1-2 liner, all right? most of us do that sitting on the toilet. We're like, oh, that was insightful. Oh, that was kind of funny. All right. So you can really quickly and easily and for free create a graphic out of that two-liner on Canva. On your iPhone, you're still on the toilet. From that quote, you could write a long-form post extrapolating on the idea. You can expand on it. You could record a voice note of you using your melodious voice or doing a spoken word slam poem about that long form post. You could video yourself with your iPhone speaking it. P.S. That one quote just covered Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, a blog, your email list, YouTube, and a podcast if you let it. It's not actually that complicated to create and disseminate your message online, especially if you're in an industry where no one else is doing that. Most people are either A, scared of what other people will say if they share themselves online, or B, scared of what other people will say, and instead they call it, I'm too busy, or I don't know what to say. I digress. I'm going to do another episode on what content to post. I received a really nice note from a brand new mortgage broker who was asking some questions about what to post. So I'm actually going to do an episode in the next couple of days about exactly what my responses were to her and why I think that this is such a great time for her. She's just finished her licensing exam. It's such a great time for her to be a small town mortgage broker because no one's doing this. You can be the first. If you are among the first, you are laughing. Just think about it. We've all seen that coach online who started in 2009 and worked her buns off being one of the first people to make Facebook a business platform. And now she's a millionaire. We've all seen them. At least all of us in the online world have seen them. Okay? You could be that person. If you are consistent, if you are clear with your messaging, if you are honest and authentic, and if you know who it is that you're talking to. But that's for another episode. For now, you've got some assignments. Answer the questions that I asked you earlier. Ask yourself, who am I for? Because if you're for everybody, you're for nobody, sis, when it comes to marketing. If you can't tell a specific story with your posts, however long or short it may be, your overly general, cliche kind of stuff is just contributing to the din. I'm sorry if no one's told you that. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings. I really am. But I'm also really invested in your success. Once you've figured out the character traits of people you want to work with and matched that with your business acumen or skill sets, pay attention to those people. Show them that you care about their problems and concerns. Talk to them, not at them. Ask them how they like to receive information and entertainment. Trust me, a 10-year-old is going to give you a very different answer to this question than a 35-year-old or a 65-year-old. Until you know who you're aiming at, you're just spraying content all over the internet. And that's probably why it feels frustrating for you. You're not getting any traction because you're not consistent, because your messaging isn't consistent. And honestly, my messaging isn't that consistent. I talk about the shit that I'm interested in talking about, and it resonates because I do it a lot. I talk about magic. I talk about Harry Potter. I talk about awkward things that I do in social settings. I talk about my mental health. I talk about my son being diagnosed with epilepsy. I talk about my love of California and tacos. I talk about how I'm addicted to coffee and I connect with people. I'm also pretty confident in saying what I think. And when I say confident, I mean sweaty and terrified, but willing to go there anyway. If you put some effort into this step, You'll never need to ask yourself, what do I post ever again? Because even in the whisper of that question, you can edit it to say, what do I have to say that they might need to hear? Chances are, the answer to that question is nothing more or less than my truest and most authentic best. Hey, listen, if you've loved listening to this podcast, I would be so grateful for a review or drop me a testimonial I can use to reach more people or share with your friends who might benefit from it. I'm not selling anything. I just think that this information belongs in the hands of good-hearted women just trying to make a buck and do great in the world. Thanks. Love ya.